Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the response of a day for the 12th of Kislev. Today's responsive is from Mishut Mishpate Uziel, written by Rav Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel, who was the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. He was Rishon Lezion before the state was founded, and then Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel in the first years of the state. This is from his Mishpate Uziel, the second volume, the Yoredeya section of that volume. Responsive number 43. The question he got, I'm actually cheating a little bit because the 12th of Kislev is going to be the date of the second letter this man sent to Rav Uziel. So the first letter is dated just Cheshvan of Tavshin Zayin, just, you know, without a specific day in the month of Cheshvan. And it's the rabbi in the city of Meknes in Morocco, which actually exists. I looked it up. There is such a city, and it's a very competitive business environment in Africa. So there was a Jewish community there, and he wanted to know, can you use Maaser Ksafim money? There is a long-standing practice. The question sort of comes up in this tshuva a little bit, in this response a little bit, whether it's a responsibility, a requirement, or just a custom, but it's a practice to put aside a tenth of one's money, and the question becomes, for what purposes, what is allowed to use them? It's presumably a tenth of one's money for charity, which generally means for the poor. And then the question is, what other needs can be used for that purpose? So this rabbi wanted to know, can you use the money for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Remember, this is 1940. Cheshvan of Tavshin Zayin is Cheshvan of 1946. So this is before there's a state. It's just after the Holocaust, although from Morocco, I'm not sure they're necessarily as sensitive to that, but they're part of building Eretz Yisrael. And this rabbi in Morocco wants to know, can we use it for building Eretz Yisrael? Because after all, if building Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, is a commandment, the Rama writes, and this is, I just noticed this in a written, I was writing up a responsive as well, this is yet another example where you have Sephardic rabbis quoting Rama and just accepting his rulings and not saying, well, the Shulchan Aruch didn't rule that way, so we don't have to follow it because we're Sephardim. An interesting question to my mind as to how they and when they decide to do that, but this is an example of him doing that. The Rama writes that this maser money should not be used for a mitzvah the person already owes, already has to do, such as giving candles. These are examples in the Rama, such as giving candles to a shul, buying candles for a shul, or any other dvar mitzvah. You should use it for aniyim, for the poor. And that's from Yoredeya, Simon Reish Mem Tet, chapter 249, Seif Aleph in the Rama. So therefore, the question is, can I use Maaser Ksafim money for building Eretz Yisrael, for sending it, for example, his example, sending it to Keren Kayem Yisrael, to the Jewish National Fund? And we'll get more into this as the response goes on, so I won't elaborate. But basically, that's his question. Is it an existing mitzvah, and therefore I cannot use Maaser Ksafim money? Or is it not an existing mitzvah, and therefore I can? So Rav Uziel writes, Mitzvat Geulat Haaretz Veit Yashvuta Yidei Yisrael, the obligation to redeem the land of Israel, meaning to buy it back, to get it back, to secure it back, and to settle it by Jews, is a mitzvah in the Torah, and it is an obligation on every Jewish person. This is where Uziel is writing in 1946, and he's just is certain that that's true to the extent that a person is able to buy it and to help it flower and help it be settled. And that's the Ramban who writes this in the Sefer Mitzvah, in the Rambam's Book of Commandments. The Rambam does not have such a mitzvah. And the Ramban in Shichecha Ta'asin, when he writes positive obligations that he thinks the Rambam left out that he should have included in his book, this is one of them. So he writes that it's an obligation on every Jew to the extent that he can to buy. I'm sorry, I was reading the old part. Sorry. It's our obligation to take hold of the land of Israel that Hashem gave us and not to leave it with any other nation and not to leave it desolate either. It's not only that external control is a problem. It's not just that having other people control it is a problem. It's that it's also a problem if we leave it desolate. And that is the pasuk that says, "Vorashtem et haaretz lareshetota v'nechaltem ota livneichem acharichem." You have to take hold of the land. You have to take possession of it, and you have to pass it on to your children afterwards. And then there's a Sifrei, which is even more authoritative than the Ramban, that says, Yishlavi Yashavtepa, Bizchut Shetirash Teshev. The merit of making sure to take possession of it will also allow you to, will also be a merit that will support your living there successfully. And don't, the Ramban says, after having quoted this Sifra, don't think that's only at the original time when, the reason why he says don't think that is because there were people who claimed exactly that. Don't think that mitzvah was only at the original time when there was the seven nations in the land. It's not true that it's an obligation that goes throughout all the generations. And it's true of each of us as individuals, even in times of exile, as it says in the Talmud in a lot of places. That's the Ramban. And the Ramban, as we know, in the end of his life, managed to make it to Eretz Israel and live there and managed to fulfill what he saw as this obligation, this positive commandment in the Torah. That's the Ramban's position. The Rambam, who famously didn't codify a specific mitzvah, nonetheless has in Hilchot Melachim, in his halacha book, the following comments that Rav Uziel also cites for us. Asul laseit me'eretz Yisrael chutz la'aretz l'olam. He thinks you can never go out of Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says. Out of Eretz Yisrael. It happens to be that I came across the tshuva in Rav Avad Yosef in Yechavedat, where the Rav Yosef takes position that one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael even for a vacation. You're allowed to leave for business, he thought. I don't know if all while you're on a business trip, you could also take some time for touring, but he thought you're allowed to leave for a temporary business trip. He doesn't say what temporary means. It could be that you could stay a month or two, but you can't move out of Eretz Yisrael. You can leave for business. But he doesn't think one can leave just for vacation. I'm not saying we should pass him that way. I'm just saying that's how far he takes this Rambam, where the Rambam says you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, all this is in the Gemara as well. It's not the Rambam making anything up. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael, prefer living in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city that the majority, the word is akum, which either means idolaters or might just mean non-Jews, but pointing meaning not majority Jewish. And the contrast is, you should prefer that, we should prefer doing that to living outside of Israel, even if we're going to be living in a place that was majority Jewish. So even if you had a place, you know, a borough park, a Lakewood, a Muncie, a Teaneck, let's say that it was majority Jewish, and therefore you say, you know, the lifestyle would be so easily Jewish, you think that's so great? That's not the Gemara's preference, and that's not the Rambam's preference. Rav Uziel says, in this saying, when we say you can't leave and you prefer to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Uziel. That's because the Rambam, too, is recognizing the importance and the value, the halachic importance and value, not just in the, you know, the sort of fluffy or amorphous idea of, oh, it would be nice if we lived in Eretz Yisrael. The halachic requirement, the halachic value of making sure that Eretz Yisrael is settled and of each individual doing his part or her part to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is settled and that there's a people there and that they're keeping the Torah as much as possible and they believe in all the things that Jews are supposed to believe as much as possible and all those things. So the Rav Uziel is saying, basically, it's clear that it's a mitzvah. Now, there's all discussions in the Achronim as to what kind of mitzvah it is. Rav Uziel doesn't get into any of that because his only question is it a mitzvah enough that therefore you can't use sixsufim money, you can't use your tithed money for the purposes of settling Eretz Yisrael, supporting settlement in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes, Rav Uziel, v'chemet shemitzvah l'ador, the mitzvah is to live there and to take hold of it and to make sure that nobody other than Jews takes hold of it and that it doesn't lie desolate. And we're supposed to do is our best to make sure that it's inhabitable, it is habitable, such that people will live there. And as long as other people have it or it's desolate, even some small part of it, that's making it harder for Jews to live there. So all of that is still an outstanding mitzvah, meaning it still exists. It's a mitzvah, it's an obligation upon each of us to do our best to make sure that's no longer true. That shows Rav Uziel very clearly that the ownership of Eretz Yisrael is an obligation, since it's an obligation, and since that Sifra says that the merit of taking possession of it will also be a merit to making sure that it's fully inhabited, Rav Uziel says the sources also say that the more we take possession of it, the more we bring closer the geula, we bring closer the redemption, which is sort of an idea like of auto-emancipation that the 19th century came aware of. Rav Uziel's put together that he thinks that it's latent in or was not fully recognized in earlier sources, that our going to live there and our going to settle it and make sure that it's settled will do much to helping hasten the time when the geula, when the redemption comes, and when even more Jews come back. So it sort of feeds on itself, what Uziel is saying, as we have had the good fortune in the last, you know, 100, 125 years to watch actually happen, that the more people that come back, even more people are open to coming back, and that the circumstances bring even more Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. All that being true, however, it means that one shouldn't really use one's maaser kesafim money, one's money that was set aside as sort of tenth of our possessions, to be a tenth of our income, to be used for charitable purposes. It wouldn't seem to include these kinds of things, because it seems like we're only allowed to use it for chulin purposes, for things that weren't existing obligations. For example, you can't really use maaser kesafim money to pay your matanot levyonim, to pay on Purim, the gifts to the poor that we give on Purim. That can come from maaser kesafim money. money, you would think, it would seem, because that's not a chulin need. That's a pre-existing need. Now, we're going to get into a little bit in the upcoming part of the tshuva, the possibility that somebody can make a condition before they set aside the maser k'safim money. But here, Uziel is not talking about it. The Ramah said, you're not supposed to use it for pre-existing obligations, and Rav Uziel has shown that this is a pre-existing obligation. And that's why the Ramah paskins the way he paskins. And the Taz there says, interestingly, Rav Uziel refers to it as the two Tet Vav Zion, which would read as the twos. Everybody calls them the Taz, but Rav Uziel calls it the twos, and that's because the name of the book really is Turei Zahab, columns of gold. So Turei, so when you turn it into Taz, you're sort of turning it into a word that doesn't exist in the original title, because there's no Ta sound in the original title of the book. So he has it in writing anyways, the twos, the Turei Zahav wrote, that if at the time when you purchased the mitzvah, or you set aside the money, you intended it for these purposes, then it will be allowed, because the money's going to its stuck of some sort. But if when you bought the, meaning he's talking in the case of, let's say, buying candles for the shul, so if when you bought the candles for the shul, you inherently intended it to be from the master k'safim money, he thought that was okay. The reason he thought that was okay was because there is a tzedaka element even to the candles in shul, because the tzedaka element to the candles in shul is that many of the people who used the shul were poor, or the people who worked in the shul were poor, and they made their living off working in the shul, and so all of that has a tzedaka component, has a charity component, and therefore it should be okay. But the Taz said, but if you volunteered the money, you said, you know, you bid, they had an auction, and you bid, you were going to support the candle, the need to, the, today we call it the electricity bill. In those days, they didn't have electricity, they had candles, so it cost money to buy all those candles to keep the shul lit. So you volunteered to pay the electric bill, you know, 2 months of the year, and then after you volunteered, you realized there was more money than you expected it to be, and then you said, oh, I'll use my master k'safim money. That, the Taz says, we can't do, because then it's really an existing loan, an existing financial obligation, and you can't pay off loans with your master k'safim money. But if at the time you said to yourself, I have this Meister Ksufim money, I have this tithe money that's supposed to go for causes that help support the poor, and this is such a cause, I'm going to apply my Meister Ksufim money to this, that the Taz says would be okay. And then that already expands greatly what we can use Meister Ksufim money for, because most causes, or many, many causes, have a component of helping the poor as well, and since that's true, that would be. So but the Rav Uziel says, I don't know, I don't think that's true. Uziel, this is not the first time I've encountered it. Uziel is willing to argue with other Achronim, even if they lived hundreds of years before him. Today, many people think that can't be done. I think many people sort of treat even the Achronim, not the Achronim maybe of the 20th century, but the Achronim of previous centuries, as if they've already living in a different era and we can no longer argue with them. And Rav Uziel was in the 20th century, so maybe that's why he doesn't think that way. But certainly Rav Uziel, I've seen more than once, willing to say, so-and-so said this, and I'm not sure that I understand that or I agree with it. So here too he says he doesn't see it, because we have a Gemara in Beitza that talks about if somebody promises a Todah, a Korban Todah, and they want to have that count as also a chagiyah that they owe, or somebody says, I'm going to be a nazir, and I'm going to use my maser sheni money. So maser sheni money is money you have to bring to Yerushalayim anyway and eat food with it there. So the nazir says, I'll be a nazir, and then I'll use the maser sheni money to buy the korbanot, to buy the sacrifices that you offer, and then you eat at the end of the experience. So Rav Yochanan says to him, Nadur ve'eno yotzei nazir ve'eno megaleach. But he's made a neder that he has to keep, but he can't use the money for those purposes. He can't do it the way he thought he could do it. So the Rav Uziel says, so that shows you that even if at the moment that you're planning to do a mitzvah, you say you're going to use this, you're going to do this mitzvah from. So Rav Uziel thinks that Gemara shows that even if at the time when you volunteered, let's say, to pay for the electricity in shul, you meant to do it from the money of Maser, he thinks you're not allowed to, because if it's something that's your obligation, and so now he's taking obligation, meaning the money in shul is not this specific person's obligation, it's just an obligation for people to take care of, and this person chose to do it. Nonetheless, Rav Uziel thinks that it has to come in achulin, it has to come from money that has not been pre-designated. So that's an interesting question about, then you think to yourself, well, what if when I put the money aside, I say in my mind, I'm going to give it to whatever good causes come along? So it's an interesting question. So for pre-existing obligations, not. And therefore, when it comes to buying Eretz Yisrael back and taking hold of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Uziel says it's also a mitzvah shel chova. And again, Notice, when he says mitzvah shel chova, it's not a specific obligation, because if you have 15 people living in, you know, New York, let's say, and they're all going to do different amounts of giving money too, and supporting. Some might make aliyah, some might not. So it's not like it's a specific obligation to shake a lulav on Sukkot. Nonetheless, he thinks that's not an obligation that you can relieve yourself of by virtue of giving this maaser, these money from the maaser money. So therefore, he says, he thinks a way that you could do it is, if a person takes money from outside their maaser account, from their ordinary money, and they give that for the Jewish National Fund, right, for buying back Eretz Yisrael, parts of Eretz Yisrael, for supporting settlement in Eretz Yisrael, since there's no specific amount you have to give, so if you give $20 from your regular accounts, then you can give other money from your Maaser Kesafim account, because he says you no longer have a specific obligation because you've already fulfilled. Because after all, let's say another person only had $20 to give, they would have fulfilled their obligation. So some amount will fulfill the bare obligation, and excess of that, one is allowed to use, he thinks, one's Maaser Kesafim money, one's tithed money. Now that becomes an important question for other issues as well, in all these kinds of things, what counts and doesn't count as fulfilling an obligation, such that you can use other money, the Maaser Kesafim money, for it as well. And he says there's a Rambam that says that as well, that when it comes to Shalmei Chagiga, these were sacrifices that were given as part of the celebration of a Yom Tov, and they couldn't come from Mount Maaser Sheni because, again, it was an obligation that existed and you couldn't do it. But he says, if you've already had a little bit of money taken from your regular money, as long as there's enough in it for your first eating from these Shalmei Chagiga, it should be the first animal. He says, Achila Rishona, the first eating, which might just mean you only have to get enough out of the animal but I think you'd have to buy a whole animal to be able to sacrifice it. In any case, once you've done that, the rest can come from Maaser Sheni money, which in their time was money you had to bring to Yerushalayim and eat there, because all you have to do is eat it. You buy it for food, and this is food, and you're eating it. So therefore, he says here too, you can do it. He thinks you can do it. Especially since here, you have the mitzvah, you have two mitzvot here. One mitzvah is redeeming Eretz Yisrael, meaning buying it back from those who currently own it who are not Jewish, and then settling it as well. Now the settling it part, he says, is to build buildings, to plant, to create an economy. And he says, and in creating that economy, in creating a livable country, a livable set of settlements and stuff like that, that has an element, as a strong element, of tzedakah, of charity. Why? Because there are poor people in Eretz Yisrael, and the better the economy in Eretz Yisrael, the better they'll do, and finding them a way to make a living is the highest form of tzedakah. So that you could certainly use your Maaser Kesafim money for, because you're basically giving it to aniyim, to the poor, or you're giving it to Torah scholars who are studying Torah, but you're supporting them in their study of Torah, which is a valid use of Maaser Kesafim money. So therefore, he says the best way to do it, he thinks, is that you would give this money specifically to a special account in the Jewish National Fund, in Keren Kayemet, that they have, which is for Torah scholars and for people who keep the Torah for Orthodox Jews, and to do tzedakah with those people. And if you also buy parts of Eretz Yisrael and you settle it, then it'll all be great. It'll bring the Geulah closer, and that's the way to do it. That's what he says. So that's the first response in this series that had nothing to do really with the 12th of Kislev. The reason why I got into this question was because in the next response in the book, so this is again Shutnish Pitei Uziel Krach Bet Volume 2, the Aradea section, number 44 now, he says it's about the same topic as before. This is from, he wrote on the 18th of Adar in Tafshin Zion. So the 18th of Adar is already in 1947. Right? So he had a letter in Cheshvan. He apparently answered that letter in Cheshvan without a date, or the date was Cheshvan, which is the previous fall. And then he says, I'm going to write you now a letter from your response to your letter of the 12th of Kislev. So the rabbi in Meknes, Morocco, got a response from Rav Uziel sometime in Cheshvan. He wrote a response on the 12th of Kislev, asking more questions. And so I apologize, I got interrupted. So if I'm picking up from a different place, I apologize. But I'm pretty sure I'm in the second Tshuva, at the beginning of the Tshuva, the 18th of Adar in Tafshin Zion. in 1947, and he's answering a letter from the 12th of Kislev, which is why this is the response for today, because one part of the correspondence was on the 12th of Kislev, and he says, at the beginning of the response, he says, you know, I don't generally answer things twice, which is such an interesting thing to think about. You wrote Rav Uziel a letter on a topic. He didn't, he says his general practice wasn't to respond to. Now, I think I've seen in Mishpatei Uziel other occasions where you can just, you can look this up yourself, you can search the words, you know, Od Binyan Hanal, or Binyan Hanal, the topic that we had before. I think there are more than one example of it, but here he says, my general practice is not to do so, because I don't have time. Because he's a very busy guy. We've seen him before talk about how he has regular starim to learn. So the question of prioritizing what he does is important to Rav Uziel. He says, I generally don't, but because it's clear, first of all, that I like you, and it's also, it's clear that you care very much about the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, and you're thirsty for the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, of the land of Israel, and therefore I've looked at what you had to say again, and I had to wait some time because I was really very busy, but now that I have a chance, I've come back to respond to you. It's almost like Rav Uziel had an inbox, right, and he had things that he had to get to, and this went way down in the pile, but he finally got around to it. In his original letter, Rav Uziel had said, the money should go for building Eretz Yisrael, ba'avodat Yisrael, with Jewish labor. And so the man writing back says, does it have to be Jewish labor? Meaning, isn't it, after all, building Eretz Yisrael, even if the laborers aren't Jewish? So how does it, is there a reason why it has to be Jewish labor? He says, no. He says he agrees that in terms of redeeming Eretz Yisrael, buying it back, that, of course, you have to do, you know, with Jews, because you have to have Jews who become the owners of it. But in terms of building it, which is, he had said, a great tzedakah, a great charity for the poor. So it's whoever does it, because they'll still build the infrastructure and that will help the poor. But in fact, he says, the Jewish National Fund, the Keren Kayamet Yisrael, in fact, makes sure to hire Jews to do double things, both to get it built and also to provide work for those in Israel who didn't have work, because at the time, there were plenty of people who were unemployed and didn't have work. Now, the Rav Uziel had also said that any mitzvah that he's not specifically obligated, he can use maaser money for. He can use the tithed money for, if it's not a specific obligation. And the rabbi in Morocco was surprised by that, because he notes that the Maharil says explicitly that this maaser already belongs to the poor. If it belongs to the poor, then all you can do with it is give it to the poor. And unless you do, you haven't fulfilled maaser k'safim. You haven't fulfilled this practice of tithing money for the poor. So the rabbi asking the question had noted Chasam Sofer and the Chatam Sofer, and Rav Uziel says, I looked up the Chatam Sofer, and he says, in fact, it's supposed to go straight to the poor, it's true, but he looked at the Taz too, and the Taz says that if at the time that you bought the mitzvah, that you set aside, that you, whatever the mitzvah was, you said, I intend to use my tzedakah money for it, so then it should be okay. Because, and he, and here's what Rav Uziel says, because all those things that you buy in a shul, that you support the upkeep of a synagogue, there's an element of helping the poor there as well, because the synagogue is, first of all, the needs of the community, which includes the poor, and also that many of the people who work for the community are sadly poor as well, like a chazen or a Torah teacher or the shamus. Many of them are very poor, and they get their support from being the infrastructure of the shul. So by supporting the shul, you're supporting them as well. And therefore, the Taz thought that if at the time that you made the donation, you meant to use the maaser money, that should be okay. Says Rav Uziel that he really thinks the Chatam Sofer is right, that you're not really supposed to buy mitzvot in shul, like the electricity bill of the shul, from maaser k'safim money. And that's why he says he gave that other idea of starting off with some chulin money, some money that's not from maaser, fulfilling the bare mitzvah that way, and then using maaser money to fulfill more of the mitzvah. Further, this rabbi had taken for granted that the obligation to give maaser k'safim money is a Torah obligation, has its roots in the Torah, and just that Chazal said the amount should be 10% if you're a reasonable person, and 5% if you're not, if you're more of a stingy person. So Rav Uziel says, it's true, there's a sifrei that sounds like what you're saying. The sifrei says in the words aser to aser. So aser to aser means, it's talking about the grain, the produce. He says, aser to aser, kvot zarecha, all of your produce, but that's only tvuat zarecha. How about rebate, money that you make from, so you should make money from lending, so I'm not sure what they mean, but business money that you make, well, how do you know you should tie that as well? So Talmud Lomar et kol, right? They take those words, aser taser et kol tvat zarecha, that the et kol comes to add that you should do it from all sorts of money, and that sounds like it's a Torah thing. But the Taz took it for granted that it's not true. The Taz took it for granted then Maaser K'safim is a Derabbanan, it's a rabbinic practice, and that the whole Sifrei is an Asmachta, right? So when we see things being derived from verses, we always have to wonder to ourselves, are they being derived from verses technically as the meaning of the Torah, or are they an asmachta, a way to express a rabbinic ideal by attaching it to some kind of a verse? Not always so clear, and that would be the debate here as well, because after all, the amount of tzedakah you have to give is also derabbanan clearly, so therefore it would seem like maybe masik suffer is also derabbanan. The Bach, by the way, held even more extremely than that. It's not a deraita, it's not a Torah obligation, it's not a derabbanan, it's not a rabbinic obligation. It seems like he thinks it's just the minhag. It's a practice that people have, it's a good practice, but it's a practice people have, and he says that, and the Rav Uziel says, and that seems to be the general way that the Jewish people have understood it, because yechidim ve'anshei skula, it's only really special people who make sure to keep this idea of Maaser Ksavim, make sure to set aside Maaser Ksavim. And the Chatzim Sofer also writes that Maaser Ksavim is not really a chiyuv, it's not an actual obligation, it's there are those who separate and those who don't. Now once you say that, if you say it that way, by the way, it seems to me, although Rav Uziel didn't say it explicitly, it seems to me that therefore you'd have the ability to make many more conditions on the money and the uses you're going to put to it than you have to, because it's not an absolute obligation. And so when you put it aside, you can say, I'm putting it aside in commemoration of this practice, but I'm also intending to use this money for X and Y and Z purposes. In any case, Mikan Lamanu Mitzvat Tzedakah, also he says the obligation of Tzedakah is to give any poor person, legitimately poor person who comes along, as much as he needs, if he can. Right, or to join in the communal pot of tzedakah to give charity to those who need it, and that would be a tenth of his income. So Masik Safim then would maybe be over and above that. So it gets complicated, right? It's whoever wants to give even more than charity. So the Ruzil is pointing out that there is reason to believe that this whole Masik Safim should be over and above what one gives to the poor. And if that were true, first of all, it would be a lot more money than people than many people give, but it would also leave a lot more leeway to give it to causes that the people want to give it to. And yet, even so, he thinks it would be clear that you couldn't give it to causes that were already existing mitzvot, because when you set it aside, you did not mean to include it in that. This rabbi also wanted to know if by giving money to maser, this maser money to the Jewish National Fund, does that also qualify as pidyon shvuyim, as redeeming the captives? Because all he is recognizing there are the people who were, you know, who were displaced by the Shoah, by the Holocaust, and it took a lot of money to try to resettle them and help them rebuild their lives. That's an obligation of Pidyon Shvuyim that rests upon all the Jewish people. With giving this money qualify? Yet here again, Rav Uziel says you can't use the Maaser Ksavim money completely to relieve you of that obligation, because if you have more money, you have to give more money, because the Maaser is an additional monies to the basic mitzvah of tzedakah, but pidyon shvuyim is a separate mitzvah, and that needs to come out of its own money if the person has it. So therefore, again, it all functions how much you have and what accounting you take from where and how you do it. And that's what Ruzil is trying to get at. If they're basic mitzvot have to be done not from masik safim money, because masik safim money is over and above that, and it's being done for other kinds of things. He also says you can't give it all to the Jewish National Fund anyway, because there is a principle that one shouldn't give all of one's tzedakah to one poor person, or to one fund, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Lo Yitein Adam Kol Tzedakotav L'Aniyecha, you can't give it to one person, therefore you're supposed to try to spread it around. So that's the way he understands it, because the mitzvah of tzedakah is has great reward, and Hashem will reward us greatly for it, and therefore you have to spread it around as much as you can to make sure you get it to as many of the right people as you can, and then you'll have done the mitzvah fully. So, sum total, Rav Uziel ends up holding the position that Maaser Ksavim money has to be used carefully, and it can't be used for pre-existing obligations, although very often those obligations aren't so well defined such that one could use them after having taken a little bit of money from one's regular funds and then use the rest with the Maaser Ksavim money, because it's no longer a full obligation. So some of the complications of accounting with our tithed money, especially in the context of redeeming the refugees from the Holocaust, as well as in terms of settling Eretz Yisrael and supporting all those in Eretz Yisrael, including the poor, who are trying to set up their lives there as part of fulfilling our mitzvah to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is fully settled. And that is a responsible day that I attach to the date of the 12th of Kislev. Have a great day.